plan is that maybe this next Sunday we will be able to open the church for those who are willing to come and feel good and want to enjoy coming back to church. We will have to practice the things that are just necessary, and you will be getting an email on that, and there will be posted out here. I just tell you, bring your mask with you, bring your sanitizers, bring everything that you can to keep yourself clean, but we will open up and have a great time. Now, this passage that I've just read from Acts 12, I've entitled this sermon, Are You Kidding? Have you ever been there where things just break and quit and never work like they should? And you turn around and said, well, are you kidding? Is this really happening to me? Well, in today's world, the interesting thing is that we are living in a world that is scared. We have a world that does not seem to be able to cope with what we've got going on. They just don't seem to be able to handle it. And I've heard on TV and in the radio, I've heard God's name invoked so many more times than you ever do. There's a lot of people that realize that this is out of our hands. It's above where we are. And so, are you kidding? Fits with where we are. I'll put you back into the wonderful little church where Peter was. He was in prison. The church was praying for him. I tell you, they were in the house of Mary. They were there where the Last Supper was held. And they were praying for Peter, because they knew his execution was impending. They were praying for Peter. They just were scared, and they prayed. And boy, they couldn't expect what was going to happen. When I first started pastoring, getting out of the seminary and had a church in Oklahoma City, we had a wonderful family that lived not too far from the church, husband and wife, came all the time. They were there. They were faithful. They were constantly in church. They had a 15-year-old son that grew up in that church. They called me and had me come over and try to visit with him because he was on drugs. And it wasn't very long after that they called me because he had died. And they didn't know what they had done. They didn't know what in the world they had done to deserve this. And the implication was, we've done everything we can to be good, and yet we're being punished by God. And we don't know what we have done to cause this. Barna says that this is the number one question that people ask. They want to know from the preachers and from the people who are theologians, what in the world is going on when God allows these things to happen? And the problem is that we want to put the blame on God. We want to put it right there on his shoulders, and we want him to take it. We take a look at this. What in the world have they done to cause this? There's a simple answer. Nothing. They didn't do anything. Now, you can cause a lot of trouble for yourself, but you haven't done anything to force God to try to punish you. That's not what God is about. Job had his counselors. You remember? He didn't understand what was going on, but he lost all of his wealth, his health, and everything else that he had, until he was in the ash heap scraping his body so that he could get some relief. His counselors came, his friends. They all came with bad advice, thinking, you know, we can explain this. We know why you're being punished. We can help you figure it out. We can get it there. Finally, his wife turned on him. Said, I'm sorry. You need to just curse God and roll over and die. Get yourself out of this suffering. Job's faith never faltered. He stood firm in his faith with God in spite of all that was happening to him. And so as you and I think about that, this is something about the Old Testament times. You know, in the Old Testament, don't we normally believe that, hey, goodness was always rewarded and evil was always punished? But the truth is, persecution happens. It's happening in our world today. It's happened in our world in every century. Persecution comes. And it's very difficult to deal with. We can study about the martyrs and the people who are suffering in our world today for Christ. And actually, we have it pretty good here. We do. We have it in pretty good shape. So we need to look at this and say, wow, we've got it. Look what happened to Peter. Peter was in real trouble. He was caught up in a place that was very political. Remember, he preached a tremendous sermon. It only took about 3, 4, 5 minutes to preach. But he preached it on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit just crushed it. 3,000 that day and on and on and on. He was doing well. But by the time he got to chapter 12 in Acts, he wasn't doing well. Herod, this was Herod, and he was about the third one. Herod decided, since I'm king right here in Jerusalem, I need to get the Jews on my side. And so he grabbed James and executed him, beheaded him. And that was going to be Peter's place in the morning. But in the process, guess what? You could ask, what did we do to cause this? Nothing. We didn't make God mad at us. And so he was persecuted, imprisoned, and he was asleep between two soldiers shackled to them. He was asleep as if nothing was worth arguing or batting a eyelid over. Don't worry about it. He was just laying there asleep. And a mighty miracle happened. God does it. And God can do what he wants to do. But the main thing is, from Peter or from us or from any place in our world, the question is, God, why are you doing this to us? He's not. What have I done to cause this, Lord? Well, you may have done something yourself, but God didn't do it. You did it, like one person said, well, you did it to your own self. If you do it to your own self, then you probably owed that. But you did nothing to cause God to want to do that to you. That's the final answer to everything. It's nothing. I'm going to give you three different answers to look at this. And I want you to think about those three answers. First of all, there is a theological answer as to why we don't put the blame on God. Guess what? God owes us nothing. We may think that he owes us everything in the world and we want all the blessings. And boy, do we want the blessings. But God owes us nothing. The first assumption is made. We act as though we deserve goodness. You know, good times and bad times happen. And the longer you live, the more you'll understand that. We act as though we should be blessed for our goodness. We never question the good things that come. We never ask God, well, why are you being so good to me? No, we just bask in the goodness. We really want the goodness, but we don't want to have the bad things happen. We want to walk in blessings and be carefree. The only reason we have the goodness of God in us is because He loved us. And it is His grace that provides the goodness in our lives. It is God's grace that is most important for all of us. God's grace, that's freely given to each one of us. We trust Jesus, ask Him into our heart, and God's grace performs a miracle in us. And we need to recognize that we can't buy or deserve anything, but we get good because God lives in us and He works through us. There's another assertion that's often made. Through our good works, we can manipulate God. Guess what? You will never put God in your debt, period. That is something that is really hard for us to understand and sometimes to deal with. I read a place where a preacher said, I just don't understand it. Ever since I've been a Christian, I have tried to serve God. I have been a deacon. I've taught Sunday school. I have tithed. I don't understand it, why God is doing this to me. The assumption is that God is obligated to bless him because he serves God. That's untrue. You cannot buy God's blessings. You just can't buy them. You can receive them, but you can't buy them. Well, there's a psychological answer that I think is very important. Count your many blessings. You know that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One? And then it will surprise you when you see what God has done. Count your blessings. And you know, another thing is, write them down. Because you won't believe just how many good things really happen. The simple excuse is, we feel like a victim. Nope. Count your blessings, literally write them down, and the result will be profound. There'll be far more good than there will be bad. And God has blessed you even more than you can ever imagine. Get your life in focus. Don't be in tunnel vision, but have the wide view so that you'll understand what God is doing for you. Peter was laying there on the floor, two soldiers chained to him. And the angel came and had to wake him up and let the shackles fall off. And he and the angel walked away from those guards, and they didn't know it. They were able to walk out the door with all those soldiers that were there to guard him. And they didn't know it either. They didn't know it. They walked right past them. And then the ultimate victory was when the iron gates were opened. And those gates were opened, and he was able with the angel to walk outside, and the gates could close behind them. And when he came to his senses, he thought, well, wait a minute. I know where the church is. I've got to go to the church. And so he ran to the church and he banged on the door and he had to bang on the door and he banged on the door and he banged on the door. And Finally, Rhoda came. And she was so excited when she heard Peter's voice. She ran in and told everybody, didn't bother to open the door. And they were all exclaiming, could it be his ghost? What's happened? They figured that he had already been executed. And poor Peter had to stand out there forever before they would open the door and let him in. And when he walked in, they received a blessing that they could never have imagined was going to happen. Peter was free. And it wasn't because of what Peter did. It's because God wasn't through with him yet. And it is God's blessing that causes these things to happen. It just is part of it. We watch that and we know it. There's a third thing that we need to do. We need to have an emotional answer. An emotional answer. Maybe we do like to be pretty active in our emotions. We need to have an emotional answer, that is to develop a new attitude. We need a brand new attitude. We need to be thankful for what God has done. We need to have a positive attitude of God's gifts. And if we take an inventory and develop this positive attitude, it'll change your life. It'll get the attention off yourself and put it on others. That's the kind of life we're supposed to have. We need to look out and not in. Well, the truth is, Acts 12. If you read on down through it, you'll find out, guess what? The church kept on growing. The truth was, didn't matter what Herod did or anybody else, God was going to grow his church. And a little persecution scattered everybody everywhere, and that formed a lot of churches and got a lot of people saved. And so we notice this. There was absolutely no hiding. They did not cease to witness. They did not cease to outreach. They did not give up. They just kept on keeping on. When we look at this and recognize that we need to have that, we need the power of God in us. And in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of power may be of God, and that not of ourselves. If you have any power from above, it is from above. It is from above. It's not yours. We've got to learn to not be the powerful, but let God be the powerful. Let God work through us. Go back to Job. Job suffered as much as anybody in the Bible. And in times of trouble, don't we like to look inwardly? We act as though we're the only ones and we are suffering. And then we ask, what have I done? Well, that was the questions that were being dealt with Job. What have I done? Did you know he never found out why he was suffering? He never got an answer for his suffering, but he found God. That's the important part. He found God. I want to share this with you. This is from Jim Dennison. Nick Hall is the founder of the Pulse Evangelism Movement, and he hosts the Bible Quarantine Series in Fox Nation. His movement has seen more than 117,000 new confessions of faith in Christ. It's across 100 nations and in 43 different languages. The special Good Friday service this year that he was responsible for putting together, and this was the responsible thing for most of these conversions. It included appearances by Max Licato, Lauren Daigle, Michael W. Smith, the NFL Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy, Oklahoma Senator James Lankford, and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, actress and evangelist Priscilla Shire, and the recording artist Lecrae. They shared messages in preparation for the Holy Week. Hall told reporters, "This is the greatest evangelistic moment that we've ever seen in our lifetime." And believers there were many more believers that were converted that were not reported to Pulse. He noted the church doors to our buildings are closed, but the church is not closed. We are living in and through a great quarantine revival, and I think God is just getting started. Clearly, one of the Lord's redeeming things in this tragic pandemic is using it to bring people and glory to Himself. We need to recognize that when we want to say, "Are you kidding?" No, there's not much to kid about. There's plenty to be thankful for, and there's plenty of things that need to adjust our attitude. It is my prayer today that in your life, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will pray a prayer that invites Him into your life as your Savior and as your Lord, and you must promise that you will follow Jesus the rest of your life. And you're going to find that God has the power to change your life and to give you real meaning that supersedes all the problems that we know. I appreciate very much being able to speak to you, and I'd like to close in prayer. Father, be with us this day, that in our suffering, in our hurting, and in our pain, we can glorify You, and people will come to Christ. And Father, we pray that this church can be made whole again. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we come back together, that we can enjoy the fellowship that we have. But Father, even when we are not able to be here, help us to be Your light in a world that needs light. Guide us, Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll conclude with a song.